Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for making it quite clear what is on your heart at the moment. Thank you for your heart towards us. I just realized this week, Lord, you love me clean. Lord, you've got an ability to love me clean. Sometimes we in this world, things just feel so messy, yet you come, Lord, in a moment in your presence, and you just love me clean. You love on me, and you love me clean, and I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray as I share today what I believe is on your heart, Lord, that our faith will not be based on my words, but your Spirit and your power. So, Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are the minister of God's will, of God's perfect theology, of God's perfect doctrine, but of his love, his power, and his ability. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is quite a strange title for a sermon, Y'all Waxed. Sounds a bit American. I just thought maybe we don't have a big youth in our church. So I decided at least I can give the sermon title for the youth. So hopefully that speaks to some of them. But I'm not going to give away my game now already. I'll get to that a bit later of what exactly that means. I like you've seen, I like to see or ask God to just show me the bigger picture. I think if you're a good fly half, if we should speak rugby terms, then you're always able to know where your team is at on a field. You always position yourself a bit behind the pack. Excuse me, ladies, I'll be done in a short bit. You establish yourself behind your pack and you always know where you're on the field. You know the scoreboard and you know where you're on the field. Now, I'm not a good fly off, but I do love hearing from God. I'm not always 100% correct, so pray for me. I'm human, but it is my heart to always hear from God. And so, as we've moved here, and obviously there's a change and a transfer, and you name it, a change in season, my heart is just, God, what are you saying? What are you chatting to us about? What's on your heart, Lord? Now, obviously, just now, it's quite clear for today what is on God's heart, and it's just so awesome that everybody shared the same thing. But yet, in the bigger picture, where are we fitting in the bigger scheme of things? Now, I am going to, and I apologize for that, and I'll only apologize once, I hope, that I'm going to revisit quite a few things of last week, because a number of us weren't here last week, or otherwise, it's just, I think, important to know what the foundations is in this season of what God is saying. Now, Tien's, by the way, they're doing well. We've chatted this week again, but he's in and out of meetings, but they're all well. I've asked him for some photos from Franz Hook. We can put it up either in church or on Facebook, just to see how they're doing, because I know you all cared very dearly for them, and we'd like to see how it's going. Anyway, Tien shared on vision and values a couple of weeks back, and then Tien's from Cape Town came and he just shared on church, good church, bad church. I don't know who was here that day, and I referred to it last week as well. So God's been speaking to us about our identity as church and what church really is and what it should be. Now, all of those sermons were quite focused on us corporately, and last week I then just went a bit further, and I said, well, as T.N.C. Jacobs put it, for us to be a prophetic community following Jesus, that was his definition, just to quote that, church is a prophetic community following Jesus. Now, to be that, what do we need to do? He used the word authentic, and I just realized this week, there's not much in this world that is still pretty authentic. At least there's three heads that nodded. But there's very few things that are quite authentic in this world again. And this is a sierra perera kerkling, but you tend to get that people's yes and their no aren't necessarily their yes and their no anymore. But T.N.C. Jacobs challenged us to be an authentic church. An authentic community of believers. What is authentic? It means to be real. You're a Christian? Yeah, I am. Are you a real Christian? And that sounds a bit simple, but it is quite a challenge. So we looked at us collectively, but I then realized that, what are we actually? And I prayed it last week, and I'm going to repeat it. Not sure, well, test it. Don't repeat me necessarily. But I think we are the sum of our relationships with God. At the end of the day, that's what we are. My relationship with God, Gerard's, Philip's, Bimpy's, our individual relationships with God all put together. And that can be quite pretty. That can be quite amazing. Yet, it needs to be authentic and real. Now, today I'm going to focus a bit about the presence of Jesus, the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. But just before we move on, last week, for those who weren't here, we looked at Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. And it's an account of Martha and Mary. Now, Martha was quite busy. Jesus came, he visited them. Martha said, oh, well, come in, please do sit. And Mary, her sister, went and took a place at his feet, whilst Martha was running around, getting stuff ready, probably preparing food. Sy het seker gemaak het alles is skoon, soos wat het 'n goeie dame betaam, en sy het rondgehardloop en geskarrel. But in that process, she got a bit ticked off with by Mary. The fact that Mary weren't helping her and was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus then said, well, Martha, Martha. It sounds like, I will say, Edna, ek my lief. That this is, kom ons wees nou ernstig. Kom ons dink gaga. And she'll do likewise for me, by the way. He said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and fearful. It depends on the various translations, but in the Amplified it says, you're anxious and troubled about many things. So last week we discussed, what are the many things in our lives? There are many things in our lives that keep us busy, that keeps our minds occupied, that gets hold of these hearts that we chatted about earlier. How many things are getting hold of your heart? And yet there was Mary in that moment, even though they had to eat, was goed moet gewas word. Jy kan nie met ongestrykte klere rondloop daar buite nie. Wat as die dokter hier aankom en jy is nog in jou pyjamas? She chose to sit at Jesus' feet. And Jesus then correctly said, Mary chose the good part. It will never be taken away from her. Now, that's a foundation, I believe, that we need to look at in this season. And I believe it's a very good picture. I love the fact that Jesus most of the time, used parables and pictures to explain common life, real life stories to us, and the kingdom to us. And likewise, I believe that the Mary Martha story is very, very applicable to us as Westerners, constantly on the move. And today, I want to move on from that Mary good part. The good part. What was the good part that Mary chose? She chose to sit at Jesus' feet. But what is the good part for us? The good part in Scripture there is quite obvious, but it can be so much other stuff. I once, and I just want to repeat that, I was driving on the N7, and I shared that last week, and I just, in a moment of just hunger for God, I said, Lord, what gets you? But Lord, what gets you? And in that moment, God just said, just that. In short, what gets God is wanting to get Him. Wanting to get Him. And I was so challenged by that, and I'm challenged in this time. To be a corporate, effective, authentic church following Jesus, we all need to connect with the source. We all need to get to His feet. We all need to get the good part. Because we can be very religious and we can do a lot of stuff. We can even have church, and please understand when I say this, you can actually have church without God. maybe I'll put it in inverted commas. You can actually have church without God. You can be a Christian without really having a relationship with God. You can do it without His Spirit. You can do it without His Word. It's called lip service. It's called form over substance. In other words, I say one thing, but I live something totally different. I say something, but this heart belongs somewhere else. I said I'm married to Edna, but my eyes and my heart is married to the woman of the world. But I say, I'm married to Edna. I'm a married man. God have mercy on me. God have mercy on me. But yet I can say that. I can confess that. I can put it on Facebook as a status. I'm married. Yet in my heart, I'm not married at all. I can say I'm a Christian, but in my heart, I'm not one at all. And this is not it's not condemnation whatsoever. I'm just being challenged by it. Because if we can't do it real, if we can't do it authentic, if we can't connect with Him, then why bother? And that has a very long introduction. Don't worry, the rest is not that long. We're going to run into today's message. My second point today is, are many things mountains? Many things mountains. Now, Pietri will realize it slowly but surely, but even the song choice today was quite prophetic as well, in the scripture that I'll just share hereafter. Before we unpack the good part of Mary, before we unpack what happens in the presence of Jesus, before we start unpacking, and I believe you might do it today and maybe next Sunday and even the Sunday thereafter, depending on how the Lord leads, because I know and I realize it's so important. But before we start unpacking that, I just reflected and I realized this week that the many things in our lives many a times leads to mountains being created in our lives. Now, that can be a mountain of discouragement. It can be a mountain of sickness. It can be a mountain of poverty or debt. It can be many things. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict in each and one, every one of our lives. Now, what is the mountains in your life? In Afrikaans, like ek het as hulle sê, moenie 'n berg van 'n molshoop maak. Don't make a mountain out of a mole hill. Deep. Mole hill. There's a groot mole daai. Don't make a mountain out of a mole heap. Of moenie 'n berg uit 'n molshoop maak. But sometimes we do. And sometimes not even us. Sometimes the enemy does that. Is there any of you guys that do not have, and obviously this is a figure of speech, but I do believe God truly speaks to our hearts through that. But is there any of you that do not or have not faced a mountain in their lives? That you walk down the road of life and you get to a place where something happens, circumstances change, and you realize, well, there's no way of me getting over this. If any of you guys not experienced that, because otherwise you need to come and preach. Okay, cool. Thank you. But I've had a couple of those in my life, and sometimes you still do them, you get them, that you get to a place where you can't see for the life of you how you're going to go forward. You've been struck with a set of facts that you have no idea how you're going to pass. Lord, how am I going to get through this? Hier is nie 'n genote tunnel nie. Ek kan nie R12 betaal en deurry nie. Here, wat gaan ek maak? That might be physically, that might be very emotionally, and I think that's on the level it very often happens. You get to the place where God sorted out a lot of stuff, but Lord, this mountain that nobody knows about, this mountain that not even my wife knows about, or my brother knows about, this mountain, Lord, this emotional mountain, this houvas, Lord, you're a good God, but I don't know about this mountain. And so we've got, some of us might have many thing mountains in our lives. But I believe the answer to that mountain is firstly, obviously in Scripture. Praise God, that's why we're here. But the answers to that is many, many a times found in our Mary moments. the answer to the mountain in the Mary moment. Everybody getting that? Very simple. Mary moment, just spending time in God's presence. What happens to our mountains? Mountains very, very often is fear-based, and I've noted in my own life. Many times you think fear is this anxious thing that happens in the middle of the night, etc., and it's not. It's many times that little moves you make, that little decisions you make, based on what? Was it on fear or faith? I disclosed it. I chatted to somebody the other day, and I realized when Edna phones me at 11 in the morning, if I'm not present with her, Edna's my wife, by the way, for those looking at me. When Edna phones me at 11, my first reaction is not necessarily, this is good news. Many a times it's, gits, ek hoop iets is fout met die kinders nie. Ek hoop iets is kort geld nie. Of, ek hoop iemand is siek of die hond het alweer 'n gat gegrawe nie. And I realized that, Retief, what's wrong there? Why in this moment, your wife phones you and you're like, maybe there's something wrong. What is fear? Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And I realize there's sometimes many thoughts and many decisions daily that I make based on fear, not on faith. Now, there might be some mountains in your life that you're currently facing, either financially or emotionally or relationally or whatever the case may be. Even spiritually, you're like, Lord, is this all a hoax? Is this true? It's a mountain, and it might be a mountain of lies. Let's move over to our Mary moments and His presence. Now, I'd like us to go to Scripture, and these things are usually born in my heart in just spending time with the Lord, I guess like it ought to be. And this is just the Scripture that God placed on my heart today, for today. And it's Psalm 97. Most of you will probably know it very well. But let's read it, and let's have the Lord's word speak to us and cut where necessary. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let many coasts and islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and burns up His foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of all the earth. For those who think that we might be weird, let's be a bit more weird. Can I ask you to close your eyes? And I'm going to read it again. Sometimes Scripture can just go over my head. Yet it's so freaking profound, it's not even funny. So let's just close our eyes. You don't have to imagine anything, but maybe the Holy Spirit envisions something to you. But let's read it just again, and let the Scripture of God, the living Word, just speak to your soul. Psalm 97, it says, the majestic King. And just imagine this God we are talking about here. Just imagine this God we're dealing with here. Just imagine this God who we call Abba Father. Just imagine this Jesus who we call King. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coasts and islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and burns up His foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of all the earth. You're welcome to open up your eyes. The mountains melt like wax at the presence the Lord. The psalmist here just reminds us of an awe-inspiring God. How often do we get robbed of the true identity and character of Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit? How often do our hearts just get clogged up just to remind ourselves of who this mighty I Am is? I had the words just coming up in my heart this week where the Lord said to me, just, His name is I Am, and it's still that. Now, it may sound simple, but I just realized the one that Moses ran into that said to him, go tell them I am who I am. I Am has sent you. That I Am is still our God today. And maybe sometimes we get robbed of that. The mountains melt like a candle. Now, we've all seen that with a flame and a candle, and you play around with it. If it's at a boring restaurant, hopefully the people with you is not that boring, but you start and play with that, and it happens almost instantly. One of the commentaries on Psalm 97 just said the following, and I'm just going to read. Christ's government, though it might be a matter of joy to all, will yet be a matter of terror to some. The most resolute and daring opposition will be baffled at the presence of the Lord. Now think at your mountain. Think at your problem. Think about that for a moment, and I'm just going to repeat this sentence. The most resolute and daring opposition will be baffled at the presence of the Lord. Die malste grootste probleem wat denkbaar op hierdie aarde kan wees, die grootste berg ooit, die hoogste een, Mount Everest, geestelik en emosioneel gesproke, will be baffled. Man, I get quite excited about this. Don't know about you. Man. The most firm, solid, lofty things are as nothing in His presence. What is the lofty, solid, firm, lofty things in your life that you think, Lord, is onoorkombaar? What is that? It's like nothing in His presence. What I realized is that in our Mary moments, in the moments with Jesus, in the moments with God, in connecting with Him personally, we get perspective. Perspective. Just a personal testimony. I went for a jog. It's not a joke, it's a testimony. I really went for a jog one day, and I went up, not up, but around Leeuwkop, Lion's Head. It's a bit of a trail runny thingy, so I'll walk a bit, and I'll run a bit, and when I get back, I'll tell my wife I did a trail run. But anyway, so I went up there, and as I ran around, it was downhill, it was quite easy to run. I ran down the other side, let's say above Sea Point. There was a big rock as I just approached on this small trail. And I just clearly felt the Holy Spirit, God, to say, just stop for a moment and sit there. Now, hello, cliche. Gaan sit op 'n rots. Go sit on the rock. And I thought, like, this is weird. But anyway, I went there and I sat and I just started to pray. And this is very simple, yet for me it was very profound. As I took a seat there, I was quite at awe at the hustle and bustle of city life down in Sea Point, Green Point area. You can see all over there. But the thing is that what God just prompted me is that just look how small everything is. That skyscraper and that massive, nice building next to the edge of the water, that expensive restaurant, those cool people and their big flashy cars and the stuff they do and the things they run after. Just for a moment, look how small that is. And in that moment, I just realized God just dropped in my heart the difference between walking there on Main Road, Sea Point, looking at the big buildings and the big people and the big names and the big stuff and all of the things that you have to have and all the things that you have to chase after and all the things that you have to do and all the things that you have to pay and all the things that you do became so small when I was just elevated for a moment up in a rock in nature. And God just prompted me and just dropped in my heart, always come up. Always come up to get perspective. Always come up to get perspective. And I just realized in the moment, many times we're in a place where our mountain is big or the storm around us is so fierce. It's so rough. The waves are so high. God just says to us, just come up. Just come up again. Come up to me. Obviously, we don't have to go up to him. He can come to us, but you know what I'm saying. Come up to me to get perspective. Perspective. In our Mary moments, in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ, we get perspective over the stuff in our lives. All of a sudden, we will see the way he sees. And that is powerful. In that Mary moment, safer perspective, truth comes to the fore. We said that the mountains many a times is just the lies of the enemy. But once we get to the presence of God, and once he elevates us and just gives us perspective, truth about that situation or the circumstances just comes out. Absolute truth. I was, another testimony, I was just saved, and I had a very, very rough couple of years in the world, just a very sinful sinner and a very rough time, and I was really feeling really, really yucky and not very godly at all. And not that our faith should be based on mere feelings. Yet, one day Edna and a friend of hers, Yaniku, prayed for me. And I probably backslided or I did something wrong and I just felt so condemned. And I went to Edna's house and the two of them just started praying for me and they prophesied over me. And they said and prayed a lot of stuff. But in a moment, God came and spoke through one of them and prophesied through one of them my name, my new name, not Retief. Obviously, that wouldn't have been too prophetic. But I'm not going to share all the detail, but he just said to me who I really am, what my true identity in his heart is, the way he saw me when he made me, and that identity, the true identity he gave me. And he said what that is. And he spoke that name prophetically over me. I wasn't that at that moment. I might not even be at this stage, but that is what God sees. You see, truth came and it burrowed, it bulldozed through a mountain of lies. It burrowed and it bulldozed through a mountain of condemnation and false identity. In a moment, all the heaped up nonsense of the enemy that is put on me, of the rough lifestyle and all the stuff I've done wrong, everything that he heaped up melted like was maxed out as it melted like wax in that moment of the presence of the Lord. And I just realized how powerful that is, and that the truth will always set us free. I'm going to try not to say in closing in three times, but let's start wrapping this up. There's a couple of other scriptures that we know only based it on one scripture. There's other couple of scriptures that I just quickly want to read through and let the word talk to you. First one is Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. All of us need to know where to go. There's a whole world of running around out there, not having a clue where to go. You make known to me the path of life. You show me the truth, in other words. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In that moment where God says, Retief, this is actually who you are, poof, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 36:9. Jesus ends off by saying, for with you is life's fountain. In your light, we will see light. Just praise God for the times where he just switches on the light so that we can know where we're going. Then in Exodus, he says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Rest in his presence. You might be facing the craziest mountain ever, yet in his presence, he can give you rest. And then just lastly, today, what does God give us today to get that hold of that truth, to get into his presence, to hear from him concerning our mountains? He gives us his Holy Spirit. And that's so important, and I love this verse, John 16:13. I think it is up on there. When the Spirit of truth comes, this is what happens in our Mary moments. This is what happens in the presence of God. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. In other words, he will give God's perspective. He will give God's truth. He will also declare to you what is to come, which is also a nice thing, by the way. And I'm ending off by saying this. Truth comes. Truth comes in our Mary moments and melts the mountains of lies. But if, why would I choose the good part? Why not the hustle and bustle? Because in that presence of God alone, truth will come. In connecting with God alone. And this might, there might be millions of ways. Believe you me, there's no, and I'm not going to put my head on a block for a formula. This is the way to get into the presence. No. God speaks in a million of ways. And he might have a totally different dialect how he speaks to you than with me. But yet, you'll know when he spoke. You will know when you entered his presence and when you just connected with him. You will know. But lastly, in that moment of choosing the good part with Mary, as we open up that good part, we realize that in his presence, truth comes, perspective comes. And our mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. I want us to pray around that quickly, and I know we might be a few minutes over time, but there might be one or two mountains that we trust God for melting. Thanks, Sam, I appreciate that. Let's close our eyes and let's just pray. Father God, that thank you that you are all-knowing, all-powerful. Thank you, Father God, for your grace towards us. Lord, you know the mountains that are in hearts in this church this morning. You know the things that we are facing, or even the things that from old, the things of the past, that the mountains of the past that still wants to haunt one or two of us, maybe, Lord. And Lord, we just ask Holy Spirit that you just come, Spirit of Truth, and that you will come burrow through, that you will come and crash through, that you will come and burn through, that you'll come and burn through these mountains. This morning, in this time, Father God, that you will bring truth and perspective, Holy Spirit, concerning these mountains. If you've got a mountain in your life, in other words, there's lies, there's something that you struggle with, something that just keeps you from moving forward with God or in life, will you be so bold and just to raise your hand that we can pray and corporately believe and have faith that God, through his presence, will come out that mountain. Please be bold and put up your hand and say, God, come. Thank you, Father God, for these hands, Lord. It is awesome if somebody puts up their hand. But this is not about me. Please take this moment and be bold that if there's a mountain, put up your hand. Because I truly believe that God wants to melt these mountains like wax today. I just asked the Lord, Lord, how do you want to do it? In other words, should we sing, should we pray, should we what? I just felt God say, I do it by them letting me. That's it. Sometimes God just melts away the mountains by you letting Him do that. I'm just going to pray over that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are very present here, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you've seen those mountains. You know them. Some of them is not your will and your way, Lord, but others you use to train and to make us grow, Father God. Be that as it may, Lord, we just lift up these mountains of our brothers and sisters, Lord. We just pray that you will come as I read the scripture. By your spirit presence, Father God, just come and melt these mountains like wax. His light lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of all the earth. We just speak to these mountains and we just say thank you, Lord, that they melt at your presence. Lord, and as we're going to sing one song in closing, Lord, I pray that there's mountains in our community, Lord. There's broken homes. There's broken marriages. There's poverty. There's perversity. Lord, there's fear. There's danger. There's a lot of mountains in those communities, Lord. Lord, and we just lift up these mountains to you, Lord. We can't change them, but I know your presence can, Lord. There's hearts that have become so cold and hot out there, Lord. Mountainous hearts, Lord. We lift every mountainous heart in this community up to you, Lord. Broken and hurt children, Lord. That's a big mountain, Father God. We lift it up to you, Lord. And we ask, not by might, nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will come with your presence, break down, and melt like wax these mountains, Lord. In Jesus' name.